Almighty God, who raised up your dear Son from the lowliness of his earthly state to your right hand in heaven, we thank you for causing us to believe on Jesus as our Savior from sin. Grant us grace that as we celebrate Christ's ascension, we may continue in the faith, flee from every temptation in this present world, and seek those things that lead us to eternal life. Bless us with word and sacrament, so that in the end we may be made partakers of the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is a part of the gospel lesson, the last verses 50 to 53 from St. Luke, which reads as follows in Jesus' name. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people who are rejoicing in Christ's ascension into heaven, last Sunday we heard Jesus say in the gospel lesson, "A little while and you will not see me because I go to the Father." The disciples simply did not understand what Jesus was saying, both about his crucifixion, his resurrection, or his ascension into heaven. In our lesson today, some of the disciples asked Jesus on the way to his Mount of Ascension, "Are you still going to restore the kingdom of Israel to us?" Instead, Jesus answered and told them they were to witness to me in Jerusalem and to the end of the earth. This mission of Jesus for his disciples and for the Christian church is how Jesus establishes his kingdom here on earth. It is a kingdom of grace. It is a spiritual kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. And by God's grace, he has made you and I a part of that grace and that kingdom of grace as well. His kingdom is spread out throughout the world, and it still continues to be our mission to tell others about Jesus, our risen and ascended Lord. Now, human reason might think that Jesus needed to stay on earth in order to direct the apostles where they should go, and for everybody to see that he truly was alive and that he was truly real. But God's ways are not our ways. And so Jesus was taken up into heaven. There he lives and reigns as Lord over the church. And he directs things in the world for our benefit, for our blessings. And so let us look at our text for today and see that Jesus ascends in order to bless us. That's our theme for today. Jesus ascends to bless us. First of all, we see that Jesus blesses us by his completed work. He blesses us, secondly, by his ruling over us, and he blesses us by leading us to heaven. Jesus lived on earth only a short 33 years. But those 33 years are the high point, the central point of all history of the human race, of all of the world, of all creation. Because here, Jesus fulfilled the promises that he had made to Adam and Eve. Here, Jesus fulfilled our salvation. And that is what the whole world needed. He was born to fulfill all that was written in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. After his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples thus that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. It was necessary for Jesus to do this because he had to deal with the great tragedy of the human race. Adam and Eve brought sin and death upon all people, whoever are descendants of Adam and Eve. Every human being is born in this world. That is born in this world is born a child of Satan. Not able to know God or see him, and under God's wrath and judgment. They could not be perfect as God requires. In fact, God looks at what our corrupted hearts produce. Jesus said, "Out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And we are to find ourselves in that list. Because of our sins, we are under God's just condemnation. When he said, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." That curse is the eternal death in hell that we deserve. And there is nothing that you and I can do to get out of what we deserve, that condemnation. But God knew this. And so he sent his son, Jesus, into the world in order to accomplish what we could not. When Jesus on the cross cried, "It is finished," he meant that his work of salvation was complete. He had kept the law perfectly in our behalf. He had suffered the punishment we deserve, the punishment of hell, in our place. And he could do this because he is the Son of God, both God and man. As man, he was born under the law to keep it for us. As God, he could keep it for everybody, everybody in the world. Only Jesus could complete this work and say, "It is finished," because he is God. And since his work of salvation is complete, Jesus didn't need to stay here on earth. He ascended into heaven to declare to us, salvation is won. It is complete. This is the truth that we need to know. Nothing else needs to be added by on our part. Not our faith, not our devotions, not our works, not our prayers. For Jesus has done it all. So his ascension should move us to thank him for that salvation which he has given to us. And what a blessing it is that we have that and know Jesus as our Savior. We are also blessed by that ascension, by him ruling over us even now. Christ's ascension means that Jesus, our brother, has been raised to God's right hand to rule over us at all times. In today's epistle, St. Paul wrote, "God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." This says that Jesus' human nature was exalted to be equal with God. All the attributes and all the powers of God were given to his human nature, which is why he could suddenly appear in a room, in the upper room with the disciples, and then disappear. And why he can come to us in the Lord's Supper, wherever it is celebrated. As a God-man, Jesus has all power and majesty to rule over the universe. And, St. Paul says, he also rules over all things for the good of his church. For Paul adds, "Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word," which is baptism. We see how God rules over us because he is sending us a new pastor, a new person to come and bring us his word. That's God doing. We see this is how God cares of Jesus cares for us in the church. He cares for believers because he was one of us. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because Jesus experienced our weaknesses, even though he was without sin, we can pray to God with confidence, knowing that he knows our sorrows. He cares what's going on in our life. He deals with those who are having to suffer. And he helps those in order that we might continue in the faith. We need this grace to trust in his salvation. We need this grace to overcome temptation in our lives and to look with assurance on Jesus as the way to heaven. Because Jesus is our Lord, it might surprise us to think that evil things happen in God's church. Jesus told the disciples, just as they persecuted me, so they will persecute you. But we don't like to see this because we often think that persecution and troubles in the church mean that the gospel is somehow lost. For the past, when Saul began persecuting the church in Jerusalem, many of the people, the believers in Jerusalem, scattered. And they went to Joppa, as we heard in a Bible class, and then also to Samaria, and they started talking to others about Christ. And so little groups of Christians were all scattered around. More people heard about Jesus because of the persecution of St. Paul. This is how Jesus works sometimes in our world. For the past 20 years, God has allowed Friends of China to come in and proclaim the gospel to many people as people from America have been teaching Chinese English. Now, the communist government is restricting their activities, putting them under surveillance, making it difficult for them to preach the gospel. And we might conclude, well, what happens if they all have to leave? Where's the gospel then? Dear friends, that happened back in 1930s and 40s as well. And in spite of the virulent communist government at that time, there were still Christians underground. Jesus is Lord of the church. He knows what is best for us, even during difficult times. In the same way, persecution in Europe brought many Lutherans to America so that we could worship God in spirit and in truth, in the freedoms that we enjoy. And because of that, we sent out many missionaries to the world. Now, here is Jesus, the Lord of the church, showing us his blessings in the world, sending people out into the world to proclaim God's word. Those who live under those trying times have to trust that God still knows what he's doing, that he's still Lord of the church, and that the gospel will prevail. For Jesus has said, "My kingdom shall never leave this world. The kingdom of hell shall not prevail against it, no matter how bad the troubles will get. And so Jesus continues to bless his church with word and sacraments to assure people of his grace and mercy, to lead us on our path to eternal life, which is the third blessing that I want to talk about today. The picture of Jesus extending his arms and rising up off the earth goes contrary to science. And here Jesus is God. He can do anything he wishes. But notice he was raising his hands in blessing. He was blessing the disciples in their work. And then he disappeared from them in their sight. But that work that Jesus is doing right now in heaven, not only preparing a place for us, he's also our good shepherd. He's leading us through this veil of tears to his home in heaven. He told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you." In heaven, there is no vacancy sign. I can't get that double negative in there. Heaven is open because Jesus died for all people. And he wants all people to be there. And he's guiding the church to bring that message to all people as they can. And in heaven, the souls of those who have died are resting with their Lord until the time that he comes again to raise up all the dead. And that great multitude, as we heard last time, will sing, "Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And one day you and I will be there, and we will sing that song of victory with the rest of the saints. Meanwhile, on the earth, we must deal with many temptations and trials and afflictions, trials from the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And St. Paul asks, "Who will deliver me from the body of this death?" But he adds, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord." As our Lord, Jesus wants us to glory in tribulations. knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces a character, and character produces hope. And the hope that Jesus gives us through these tribulations is being able to look at our heavenly home. St. Peter says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." Jesus also blesses us because when he ascended into heaven, he promised us something else. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and gather you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." At his ascension, Jesus told the disciples, this same Jesus, the angel told the disciples, this same Jesus who was caught up into heaven shall in like manner come again as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus promises to return on the last day, to raise up all the dead, and his angels will gather all those who are believers in Christ. And they will be changed, and their bodies will be raised, and they will praise and glorify God, and they will be judged, and then God will take them to the eternal home in heaven, where they will be with him forever. That is our goal. That is how Jesus blesses us. And so we work together, following Jesus' ascension as he has created that path from earth to heaven. We follow that path, and we follow our Good Shepherd. He guides us with his word. He strengthens us with his word and sacraments. He gives us the assurance of that heaven through Lord's Supper. He may challenge us with troubles and other issues so that we look to him. But the goal is heaven. The goal is eternal life. The goal is to be with our Savior together. May the Lord bless us as we bless him and receive his blessing for eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.